I have been told for some time now that what I teach, and you know we're grace-based in our teaching, have been since we planted the church. And, you know, I'm not going to go into all this right now, what that involves. Grace and faith, what God's unconditional love, what is, what came, what's salvation. I mean, the whole package that has come to us for us, God's favor that's immense, and his ability in our lives to live. I mean, really live. That's what we teach, have been teaching, to get believers grounded. I mean, really grounded. I'm talking about mature believers, not babies. Grounded in the truth of the word, to be able to live out the truth of the word and the reality of the word for each one's life. And that's going to continue to be our church. But I've been told here in this last year, within this last year, that what I've been teaching, and I started with what the Lord had given me about last days, and we really started to plow into this, not studies in eschatology, but the reality of where we're at in these times and what we're facing, where we're going, what's happening, what's coming. Part of this is the prophetic, and we're seeing it happen. We're seeing the action part of it. We're seeing the degradation of our country. I said last week or the week before, America is dying. That's a fact. Get used to it. If you think it's, you know, a different way, well, bless you. But the reality is, according to the word, when our backs are turned from the Lord, this has been going on for a long time, when our backs are turned from the Lord, any and every single nation falls. And we the church, and we the pastors, have been asleep at the wheel. And for the last 50, 60 years, we have allowed what has happened to take place without making a stand. That's on us. Now, here's the reality. Because what I've been teaching, what I've been preaching, sounds a lot like, now this is what I've been told, Mario Murillo. Anybody heard of him?
Yes.
Great. Jim Richards, Dr. Jim Richards.
Yes.
We've got the same message. I don't typically read or listen to their stuff. We're all getting this from the Lord. And we're not the only ones. And so I'm saying this to tell you, God has prepared the church, is preparing the church overall, but the church that will listen, that's me and that's us, for what we're called to do in these last days, in these last times. And when we were worshiping this morning, thank you, worship team, the Lord spoke to me, and I want to give you the word that he gave to me. He said, there's a wind blowing, not of this earth. It is the wind of the Holy Spirit. And in this wind, is revival, is my majesty, is my glory, is change, is the wake-up call to the world. Now, this is where we're going, church. This is where we're going, this church. I want you to understand revival begins locally. Revival doesn't start in some, you know, all of a sudden it's nationwide. No, revival starts. Every time revival starts, it starts locally. It starts in a place. It starts in a church. It starts among a people who are hungry and desiring and craving the move and the work of God. But people who humble themselves and submit themselves and pray. And everything that is has been before, just cast this off. Americans typically, and I could say this because I've been an American all my life. Let me tell you, the American church is lazy, malnourished, and self-centered, basically. Not this church. But that's the American church. We're going into revival. Period. We're going to pray. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to fast. And we're going to seek God for the move of God in this place. Because He wants to move in Ipsy and way beyond. And that wind that is blowing, that is not of this earth, is coming. It's coming. Lonnie and his group that pray in the mornings, they meet here at 8:15 to 8:15. They're praying for revival. They're praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you to join them. I'll open up a bigger spot if we need it. Okay? But I encourage you to join them in prayer for revival, because we're going to be a part of the awakening that has begun. Okay? I needed to get that to you this morning. All right? Thank you. Praise God. Lonnie, thank you for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we give this time in your word to you. And I trust you, Holy Spirit. Open eyes and minds and hearts in this class today. We're not the typical American church. We're a hungry bunch. And we want you. We want everything you've got for us. And we want revival. That's what we want. With your glory and your majesty and your power and the wind of your Spirit blowing in our lives and in here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Please go there quickly. We're going to cover a lot of ground quickly today. This is a class. The Lord had me do, we're not doing a regular series today. We're doing a class. This is a taste for everybody that doesn't know. Again, this is a taste. If everybody does not come to the Grace Life classes in the mornings, this is a taste of Bible college. This is a taste of Bible college classes or quality classes that we do here. We call them Grace Life. And the Lord said, I want you to do a class for the church. I said, okay. And the title of the class is The Kingdom of God, Heresies and Doctrines of Demons. The Kingdom of God, Heresies and Doctrines of Demons. Whoa. And the catchy title of this class is class number 4. Okay? All right. One of the things you learn in preaching school is how you title your messages. All right? Because your titles are going to either catch them or turn them away, right? So if class number 4 doesn't really grab you, don't worry. All right. So class, when I do class, classes are interactive. And that's what we're doing here. We're not too full that we can't have interaction. The ushers, 2 up front, 1 in the back, I think, right? Have microphones, or we got 2 up front. Well, whatever we got. Okay, great. So, ushers, when you see a hand, go up and I point to them. I mean, get on over to them. We want to get this on the podcast. But I'm looking for questions, comments, no commentaries. I don't want a dissertation, all right? We need to discuss something. We can do it later on. But in this series, or in this class, my heart, my hope, is that during this time that we live in now, there is a proliferation, an abundance, an excess of heresies and doctrines of demons. We don't think about this. We don't think about where they come from or how they get birthed or where what they really are, because we get so accustomed to hearing heresies and doctrines of demons. We go, oh, well, okay, you know, I don't agree with that. Or okay, we need to be pretty adamant now. At this time in our lives, this is a reality. We need to know where we stand, why we believe, and what we believe. So, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Who's got this? Diane. All of God's Word. All of God's Word. Why? It's our foundation. It's the truth in its purest and most absolute form. And we can measure every single thing that comes to us, every single fact, or every single scientific aspect, or every single thing we hear, we can measure it according to the truth. Does it fit or does it not fit? Is it true or is it not true? Is it a heresy? Is it a doctrine of demons? What is it? We need to identify these things, because when we're pummeled over and 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 over, and did I say over? By the news media, we start to believe it. Break off the news media if you're not done that. Okay? All right. 1 Peter 3:15. I hope this grabs a hold of you. Peter writes, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, when he says this, that means to take your heart in reality, and in your heart, hallow, make it sacred, make it uncompromising who God is to you and what he stands for. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This is for us, church, right? Everybody that professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everybody that professes to be born again. Everybody that professes to be a disciple. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always, here's where we most miss it. Always, that means always in the Greek. Always be ready to give a defense or a reason to everyone. Wow, everyone. Who ask you a reason for the hope or the confidence, what you believe, that is in you, with meekness, with humility, and fear. And this fear is real fear. This is fear that is terror. This is fear that is terror for what the reality is for them. The one who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. These are the things we're supposed to think about. Can you give an account? Really? Of what you believe, why you believe it. Most believers can't. Cannot do it. So let me ask you, Diana answered some of this. We're all professing believers here, I think, today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you don't know him, if you're wondering, kind of, where do I fit? If you're living, kind of half in, half out. If you're I'm going to believe God, I accepted Jesus, but I'm going to live my own thing. You know what? You either serve God or you serve Satan. There's an ending middle ground. It doesn't work any other way. This is according to the Word. This isn't my preaching. This is according to the Word. We're doing one or the other. Amen. So, why do you believe what you believe? Kitty, why do you believe what you believe? Tell me why. How do you give a reason? Our defense. Go ahead. I've seen what working in my own life? I've seen God's truth working in my own life. Why do you believe what you believe? Who else? I'm putting you on the spot. This is a test. This is a pop quiz. Okay? Diana? Wait till you get the microphone.
Personal experience of him raising me from death to life, physically and spiritually.
Personal experience raising from death to life. Why else? Why do you believe what you believe? Why? Okay, I'm coming to you as somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why do you believe what you believe? Anthony.
I've sought the Lord. I've seen the Lord. I've felt the Lord. I've noticed him in other people's lives. I've seen what people are like without him. And I mean, it pretty much sums it up right there.
Okay. Anybody else? Teresa?
Because I was one way before he revealed himself to me as a person and as God, and now I am another way.
Okay. Why do you believe what you believe? One more. Tina. Okay. All right. Why do you believe what you believe? Can you defend it? Come on, can we be real? I'm always going to be real with you, right? For the most part, no. Maybe some are a little intimidated to get on a microphone. That's okay, you know. But in reality, why do you believe what you believe? Somebody asked me this question the other day. How do I know I'm born again? How do I know? Something to think about. Not going to answer that right now. Why do you believe what you believe? All right. I want to talk about the kingdom doctrines real quick. I'm going to go through them real quick again because I want you to shout out, if you think of anything else but besides what I read, I want you to shout it out. Kingdom doctrines. These are what we believe. These are according to the Word of God. You must be born again. Amen. That's it. God is love. The Trinity. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Resurrection of the dead. Forgiveness of sins through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The reality of a new identity. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and power. Amen. Healing. Amen. Prosperity. These are all doctrines of the kingdom. Eternal life. The judgment seat of Christ. The final judgment of all who reject Jesus. Heaven, hell. Anybody else? Come on, I haven't hit them all. This is not an exhaustive list. The word is loaded with the doctrines of the kingdom. They're the realities. All right? Doctrines in the Greek are teaching. Right? Why do you believe this? I want to cover this quick. This is all on the podcast, so I'm not going to repeat these things. Why do you believe what you believe? Historical proofs. History. Written, secular, archaeological, theological studies, and historical text. Prove the word. Over and over again. Documentation by witnesses. The Bible has never, ever, ever been disproved, though many have tried. Confirmation through faith and experience. I'm talking about faith in God and in the Word and the manifestation of that faith. The Word proves itself out every single time. Because God never fails. Can't. Can't lie, can't fail, right? Doctrine of the kingdom. Are you thinking about these things? Hearts change. And the desires of the inner person, the spirit of a person, change. This isn't magic. And this is not something that we can will to do. We change. This is a part of the new birth. God becomes real through experience. Real experience. And a relationship happens. Now, when somebody comes to you and they have a difference of opinion, or they have a different belief system, or they have a different understanding, or they're just plain ignorant. Can you dialogue with them? Do you know enough to dialogue with them, to give an account, to give a defense, to give a reason why you believe what you believe? Because in this day and age, you need to. In this day and age, there ain't no more sloughing off. In this day and age, if you can be deceived, you will be. Heresies and doctrines of demons, flat out, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we have, are error. Error are lies. They are deception. They are not true. They are error. They lead to destruction. Could be immediate or it could be eternal or could be both. Error. That's what heresies and doctrines of demons are. Now, I haven't given you homework, but here's the homework for this class today. All right? I want you to take 1 John, the letter, and through this next week, every day, read it through. 5 chapters. Oh, goodness. It's a short letter. Read it through every day. And then write down, while you're making notes, write down in that little letter the doctrines of the kingdom. I want you to read it every day for 5 days. For 5 days. And you're going to begin to see the doctrines of the kingdom that are laid out. That's your homework, okay? All right, a quick refresh from the last couple of weeks. You know the difference, we discussed this, between movements, organizations, progressivism, religion, and cults, as compared to fundamental Christianity. Whoa! We are fundamentalists when you come right down to it, because we believe what the Bible says. Whoa, there's a lot of Christians, I don't like the word Christian, who really don't believe the word. We believe the word. If you believe the word, you're really more of a fundamentalist. That's all. You believe the truth. Okay? Know the difference between movements, organizations, progressivism, religion, and cults as compared to fundamental Christianity, which is based on the truth of the Word of God. And you compare everything that these teach, these organizations, these movements, progressivism, religions, and cults, how do they stack up? How do they compare their doctrines as compared to fundamental Christianity? What does it look like? What do their doctrines look like according to the Word? Now, we've covered the secular arena. And I did this on purpose because the three areas throughout this class that I wanted to cover are the secular arena, which has a great influence on the church. The church should be influencing the secular arena, and it doesn't. A huge number, a massive number of heresies and doctrines of demons come through the secular arena. I worked for a pharmaceutical firm before we went to Bible school. Large one. You all know it. And one of the things, this is in 2000, one of the things that we were pummeled with instantly in 2000, all of a sudden the culture shifted. Progressivism is driven by the culture. Progressivism drives organizations, secular organizations, and movements. One of the things that we were had to be trained in, forced to adhere to and agree with while we were at work, was diversity. Now the word is all about diversity, but not the way the world teaches diversity. One of the things it was the embracing of homosexual marriage. Okay. In a secular organization, we were taught we had to embrace homosexual marriage. How does that stack up with the word? What's the doctrine of the kingdom in this? Let's go to that first. Regarding marriage, what is it? Ushers, get ready. Come on, this is easy. Tom, what's the doctrine of the kingdom?
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Okay, pure and simple. Genesis, in the beginning, doctrine of the kingdom. A secular organization, not a movement, but an organization. Embracing a, what? What was it?
Heresy.
A heresy. All right. How do you know it's not okay? Because it's not the doctrine of the kingdom. It doesn't line up with the absolute truth. You have to start thinking like this. Movements such as, and I've heard the air suck out of the room when I said this. I'm always going to talk with you. I'm always going to be real with you. Is you got movements like Black Lives Matter and the Ku Klux Klan.
Whoa!
They have doctrines that they teach. They both do. How do they line up with the word? You search it out. Have you searched it out? How do you know? And don't even bring the media reports to me. Okay? Transgenderism, universalism. Both of those. You know, universalism was around 200 years ago in this country. How about those? They all have doctrines, and they're all movements and organizations. Pro-life versus, or on the other side, woman's right to choose for her life. Murder or life? Doctrine of demons? More along the lines of that. Okay? All right. So that's secular. We have churches that agree that abortion is good. Are you kidding me? They're really cults. Yes. But they call themselves Christians. All right? How do you know? Look at their doctrines. Does it line up with the word? Does it line up with the truth? All right. Many, many, many professing believers are deceived this way. It leads to destruction. It really is ignorance by choice or deception by a seducing spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Paul writes to the church in the midst of the most idolatrous country. And in Corinth, he said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, what does that mean? Typically in the church we teach, don't marry somebody that doesn't believe Jesus is Lord and Savior. Oh, wow. You mean that's it? Are you kidding me? No. To not be unequally yoked with someone who is an unbeliever means you buy into what they teach, their doctrines. And you agree, you embrace, you desire, you think it's right, you don't line it up with the word. You choose to believe what they're promoting. Let's take Democrats and Republicans. Neither one is godly. Amen. Neither. What are their doctrines? Both of them. Whatever you line up with, are you yoking with believers or unbelievers? I'm talking about the basics. Church is not a political organization. Never. Ever. Does it agree with the doctrine of the kingdom and the word of God, or does it not? If it does not, it's either a heresy or a doctrine of demons. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, what is a heresy? What is a doctrine of demons? What is the difference? Anybody want to know? Is there a difference? Of course there's a difference. What is the difference? A heresy, and I've got the scriptures in this, but I'm going to tell you real quick. A heresy is something that comes through man's reasoning. It's reasoning. It's how we reason things out. And we don't reason things real. Anybody reason things perfectly? We reason according to typically what we want, what our desires are, what we want to hear, or what we want to believe, regardless if it's in line with the truth. A doctrine of demons is inspired by the satanic, by the demonic. That's where it comes from. And typically, it's a new revelation. A new revelation. All right? And it's embraced and it's taken. And of course, it's a twist on the truth of the word. Okay. Now, I've covered all the secular I'm going to cover. We've done secular. Now we're going on to religion and cults. And when I wrap this up, we're going to cover the sects, S-E-C-T-S, within Christianity, the umbrella of Christianity. Okay? So we can begin to see some clarity on what this all looks like and where we are and why we believe what we believe. Okay? Sound good? We okay? All right. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study. This is where most believers miss it. Not this church. to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, as we go through this, and I'm talking about religious cults, I'm going to highlight their doctrines. I'm not going in exhaustively, right? I'm not going to this is not a thorough dissection. I can give you the reference material and where to go for this if you want it. But this is so we understand why we believe what we believe regarding the doctrines of the kingdom. All right, Jehovah's Witnesses. Anybody had Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door? I love when they come. I do. Rosie will tell you, I love it. Almost all the time, I open doors. Come on in. Great, let's talk. Jehovah's Witnesses were formed in 1879 by a man named Charles Taze Russell. Here's what they believe. Now, see what this rings a bell with you regarding what you know and what you believe about the doctrines of the kingdom. There's no Trinity. Jesus was the first of Jehovah's creations. Jesus is not God, but Michael the Archangel. Jesus did not rise in bodily form. When Jesus returns, he will destroy all non-Jehovah Witnesses. The Holy Spirit is a force. Salvation by baptism as a Jehovah Witness and by works, this is witnessing door to door, is that's how they reach salvation. There's no hell, only annihilation. And they have their own Bible called the New World Translation, which is written to agree. It's take off from the King James, written to agree with their doctrines. Now, I love the Jehovah's Witnesses. They come to our door, and I love to talk. And they are, have you ever talked with them any length of time? I mean, they are primed and ready. I mean, everything you want to know, they got the answer. They know the word. And they'll tell you. And they'll want to give you more. And keep going and keep going. And you kind of get befuddled, right? Unless you know how to give a defense for what you believe. And a reason why you believe what you believe. They're nice people. Wow. And they're deceived. Because what they base their eternity on, their life and their eternity, is a doctrine of demons and heresies. That's what they're looking for salvation with. They're deceived. All right, next, we're going to jump to the next one. Buddhism. Really, really popular. Rosie and I have been around, we've gone around town and it seems like all these stores we go, there's a Buddha or many Buddhas in all kinds of places. I mean, what's with all these Buddhas everywhere? I've never seen so many Buddhas in one place. It's little statues, you know. And with the fat belly and all that. Now, I had a Buddhist when I was, I lived in Vegas a long time. And in Vegas, I'm going to tell you that every cult that there is, every religious cult that there is in Vegas. Am I right? Every religious cult there is in Vegas. And I used to love to speak with them. I had a Buddhist witness to me one time, one of my neighbors. I'm telling you, she knew her stuff. Not only did she know her stuff, it was like this incredible, I want to draw you in because this is the way it is and this is a truth. Now I was born again. I was teaching my Bible studies up this stuff. I'm going to tell you this, that when the time came for me to talk and give a defense or give a reason, she shut the door. Showed me her little shrine in there and all that stuff. Here's what Buddhism believes. It was founded around 500 BC. I'm not even going to say the name of the man who did this. But the Buddha founded Buddhism as a reformed Hinduism. Buddha did not believe in God, Buddhists believe that Buddha is a universal enlightened consciousness, that Jesus was an enlightened teacher. There's no Holy Spirit. The goal of life is to reach nirvana through reincarnation, which nirvana is this enlightened consciousness. And there's no heaven or hell. No penalties, no judgment, no condemnation, no sin. Now, I want you to, as I kind of lay these out this week and next week, I want you to understand that, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Every one of these religious cults that I'm bringing up that are loaded with heresies and doctrines of demons, right, every single one has threads and commonalities. If you've ever studied ancient religions, Baal worship, Canaanite, fertility worship. I mean, on and on and on. If you ever study any of that, you'll see the commonalities between them that they mix. There's nothing new. All of this comes from the very first, what happened in the garden through the devil, how he presented what you need, what will fulfill you, what will be a draw to you, what will complete you, what will answer what you need and provide what you need, what will deify you without penalty or problem or anything else, by minimizing God. The same thread of commonalities have run all the way through since creation to right now. Almost all of these religious cults have some or much of the same things over and over and over and over. It's just packaged a different way. Okay, Scientology. Ever heard of Scientology? Scientology. Who founded Scientology? Anybody know? L. Ron Hubbard. How'd you all know that? Anybody ever involved in Scientology? Anybody? I mean, you don't have to be concerned. I mean, thank God you're here. Scientology, well, yes, formed in 1954 by L. Ron Hubbard, who wrote Dianetics. That's one of their main salvation. You see my hand in quotes. This is for the podcast. Manuscripts. Does not define God at all. Rejects biblical description of God. Now, how's this lining up with what you know in the doctrines of the kingdom? How's it fit? How do you know? Doctrines of the kingdom. Know what you believe and why. It says Jesus is not the creator. Jesus didn't die for our sins. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no sin or need to repent. Salvation is freedom from being or having to be reincarnated over and over. Hell is a myth and heaven is a false dream. That's in a nutshell Scientology. All right. Mormonism. You ever had questions about Mormonism? Yeah. I lived in California. I kind of began my life at 18 in California. And I worked with a Mormon. I almost became a Mormon. Oh, you know what the draw was? The man I worked with, he knew the word. He loved God. The way that he knew God, he loved God. And they focused on family and community, things I was hungry for. Focused and being good and righteous living people. That was a big draw for somebody like me. It was this huge hole in my heart. I said, yeah. Now, this is what happens with the religious cults. There's, just the way the devil did with Adam and Eve, there's a want to draw you. I want to supply, okay, what we have. I want to give you what you need. And I want to make it really palatable and really good for you. And this is what I have. And it's all good. It's everything that you could ever want. That's the draw in whatever the need might be that we might feel unfulfilled about or ignorant about with the word. Again, this is why we have got to be in understanding about why we believe what we believe. Mormonism, formed in 1830 by Joseph Smith. Doctrines and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price are two books. Main dogmas of the Mormon religion. And they supersede the Bible. The Bible takes a way back seat. Here's some of the doctrines. God was once a man and progressed to God. God is married and has a physical body. How's this lining up with the doctrines of the kingdom? Huh? What do you think? Does it make sense? Does it fit? God is three separate gods, little g. Man can become God. There's that deification again. Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jesus' death did not atone for our sins. The Holy Spirit is an influence. You're saved by works. There is no hell, only annihilation or ceasing to exist, and only Mormons get eternal life. All right, last one for today. Christian Science. Anybody ever heard of it?
Yes.
All right. Formed in 1875 by Mary Baker Eddy and her writings. The Christian Science Monitor. Have you ever seen the magazine laying around? Okay. Well, that's a part of her organization. A religious cult. And here's some of the doctrine. Her writings, and she has many, supersede the Bible. Jesus is not the Christ and is not God. God can never become man. Jesus did not die on a cross. Jesus was not resurrected and will not return. The Holy Spirit is an impersonal power. All humanity is already saved eternally. Sin, sickness, evil, and death are not real. Heaven and hell are a state of mind. And healing comes through the realization that sickness is an illusion. Okay. Now, that about wraps up our class for today. Did you learn anything?
Yes, sir.
Or is it just too much facts?
No.
Should I lighten up on the facts?
No.
Okay. I want you to be prepared. There's a wind blowing. There's a wind blowing. It's coming here. God wants us prepared. In our hearts, in the reality of what we understand, why we believe what we believe, that by humility and submission to Him and prayer, we're going to see things that we only dreamed of seeing. These are the last days we're living in. And understanding these things, He's getting us ready for more. And know why we believe what we believe. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are lost. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Eternity is real. Heaven and hell are real. That's the truth, and those are the facts. All that God has for each one of us is real, and it's true, and it's good. If you don't know whether or not you're born again. If you wonder what that is, have you ever questioned why you stand where you stand or what you believe, or maybe it isn't true, Or maybe you've had personal doctrines that are in conflict with the Word, and you believe them over the Word. You know, it's a dangerous place to be. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay? That's the reality of what we're living in now. There's no time to play around anymore. Okay? I'm being real with you because I love you. Amen. And I care about you. I want you to have everything God's got for you too. So, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you're wondering if you do, please stand up. Come on up here, please. Just face me. You don't have to look at them, just face me. If you're in conflict with the doctrines of the kingdom, and you know it, and you want to make a change in your life, today's the day. Because if you don't, it's going to destroy you. Please stand up. If you're in conflict with the doctrines of the kingdom, please stand up. You can make a change today. Anybody? Okay. We're going to take a couple of minutes. I'm going to give you the doctrines of the kingdom. I want you to close your eyes, okay? And I want you to hear me. I want you to shut out everything and everybody else, because who cares? The only thing we care about is God, is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. I want you to hold your hands out in front of you. And I want you to follow me when I say this. But don't, if you don't mean it from your heart, don't say anything. All right? Because this is a reality now. This is forever. Okay? Lord, I'm so sorry for all my sins and everything I've done against you and how I've acted and believed, what I've thought, what I've felt, the anger that's been in me. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And he rose from the dead. For me. And in Jesus' name, with all my heart, I accept what you did for me, Jesus. I accept your lordship for my life from now on. And I will follow you with all my heart till my last breath. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the kingdom. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. There's a wind blowing. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Well, thank you, Jesus.